Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
This is Don Fluckinger at the mHealth and Telehealth World Congress. I am speaking with Joseph Cafazzo of the University Health Network and University of Toronto. And he's got some opinions on, or some perspective on how the FDA in the United States is going to regulate mHealth apps. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks.
Well, just to begin, give us a little background on BANT, the app your team is working on, and what you've done with clinical trials.
Sure. Well, BANT is one of a number of apps that we've developed at Toronto General around chronic disease. It's specifically around the management of diabetes. So we started off with type 1 diabetes, and in particular, a hard group to manage our adolescents, so kids with type 1 diabetes. So what we wanted to do was create an app that encourages the self-monitoring of blood glucose. So we did that with a Bluetooth-enabled glucometer that we created that automatically transfers their blood sugars. One of the things that we wanted to do as much as possible is make it as frictionless, because these kids, as it stands, don't want to do much about diabetes. If we added an additional burden to them, it would be problematic. So we wanted to encourage them to take their blood sugars, which, you know, traditionally these kids have trouble adhering to, as well as putting greater context. And making it, if at all possible with diabetes, but somehow make it a bit fun and more engaging than it is now with the existing technology. So BANT captures these values, it contextualizes these values, and it gives them points for every reading they take. They can accumulate these points, level up, and redeem them for iTunes redemption codes where they can buy music and apps. And which, you know, in the original pilot in 2012, we showed that these kids test 50% more frequently using BANT than in the 3 months previous to using BANT. We have added a social media component where they can chat about things online within the application. And now it's in a full randomized controlled trial. So at the Hospital for Sick Kids. And we're also creating a type 2 version of BANT for adults. And again, there's a different context in terms of the management of diabetes for type 2. And what we're doing there is adding activity monitoring, so the Fitbit is integrated with blood sugar readings. What you're eating, your diet is integrated. So that's where we're headed with BANT.
And so the clinical trials you've built around BANT have taken a while to sort of get results and
sure.
measure outcomes and be completed. And you made a comment in your presentation earlier that sort of struck me. Some of this research with mHealth, by the time you go through the structure of
yeah.
a randomized controlled trial, the app or the tool is obsolete.
You're absolutely right. And you know, we were actually talking about it last month about the current clinical trial for BANT that is underway now will probably not be published until 2016. And the type 2 trial that we're starting this fall, we're hoping that gets published by 2017. So, and I used an example in my presentation of reading a paper that was published probably within the last 18 months of a RCT that was on a Palm Pilot technology. It actually took 7 or 8 years to publish that data. So you're absolutely right that if people go to the lengths of using the randomized control trial to prove their technology, absolutely the technology will probably be somewhat obsolete. But really, are you testing the technology or are you testing the behavioral change attributes or functionality within the application? And that's part of it as well, is that we want to understand whether or not this gamification aspect or the social media aspect is actually working. And it will inform future generations of mobile health apps, including a future version of BANT.
So you have an interesting perspective from working in Canada, and you're watching the United States FDA struggle to figure out how it's going to regulate mHealth apps. Now, having gone through your experience with BANT and the clinical trials around it, what do you think of the FDA's approach? And some people in this country look at it as FDA is going so hands-off that patients will be in danger, and then other folks think that even the little that they're planning to do right now is stifling innovation.
Yeah, so, you know, my background is biomedical engineering and medical devices, so I'm used to regulation, right? I think if you're coming from the IT world, the whole idea of an application being regulated is maybe perhaps somewhat foreign. But, you know, if your application is as sophisticated as you make it out to be, that it helps, you know, perhaps it's clinical decision support, or it connects to a medical device and communicates with a medical device and transforms the data. You know, I think as a patient, I think I do want to ensure that that application is built according to certain quality management standards, like ISO 13485 and all the other aspects of the regulatory process. And, you know, quite frankly, despite being Canadian, we want to see BANT in the U.S. And so our team has a quality management system in place. We're going through the process. I actually are probably one of the few people that think that what the FDA is doing is not unreasonable. In fact, they've been a lot more explicit than other regulatory jurisdictions, such as Health Canada and Europe, is that, you know, at least you have guidance here in the U.S., a very explicit guidance. And I guess, you know, once you know the rules, you can play by them.
Well, what advice would you have for CIOs at healthcare providers? Those are the folks who read our articles and listen to our podcast. In the upcoming years, there may be some choices of apps that they might implement as a healthcare system for their patients. And with sort of a less regulated environment, how does a CIO choose safe apps?
Well, so people have been coming up with this concept of the app formulary. So this idea that it's a group of vetted applications that, like within an organization, you can sort of add to the EHR and start prescribing apps. But the question is what are the apps? And there are literally tens of thousands of apps. You know, the FDA doesn't have a requirement that you need an RCT. You don't need to prove the efficacy of the app to go through the regulatory process. But I think it's sort of incumbent, and especially in a teaching organization such as ours at Toronto General, is that the clinicians want to have some assurance that this app has been vetted. Hopefully there is some evidence to support its use, a randomized control trial. There are very few apps that have gone through the level of rigor that I've articulated. You know, one of the few examples of a mobile health app that I know of that has a full RCT is WellDoc. It says the diabetes, and this is not an endorsement of WellDoc, but they did some smart things early on before they actually even went to market, and being very I think looking to the future and saying, if this is ever going to be successful, there has to be some evidence behind it. So they got out early on doing those clinical trials. I would suggest that either to a CIO is that, you know, seek out those applications that have some evidence, perhaps run a small pilot, get the clinicians to use them. Or the other thing is that, you know, if you have the capability, it's perhaps designing your own app for your own organization. That's not unheard of either. And that you have buy-in from the clinicians because they are involved in the design of the application. We've met lots of smart, entrepreneurial, creative physicians looking at their own practice and saying, you know, if I only had this, if I could communicate in an efficient, timely fashion, or if I could have this information from the patient, there's lots of great ideas, and you know, they may not be totally original ideas, but at least it's from within, and it's probably tied and well integrated into their infrastructure.
Bottom line is, if you can't build your own, do your homework and see what research the app vendor has done behind the safety and efficacy, and the more legwork they've done, probably the better off you are.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.